Over to, let's switch the switch here and turn on 2 Timothy. We're going to talk about 2 Timothy tonight, and starting in chapter 3, we've done chapter 1 and chapter 2, and in chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, I should say there is a last days mentioned in the Bible for Israel, and there is a last days mentioned for the body of Christ, not Israel. Last days before the catching up would be for us. Israel's last days come after the catching up. That's in that 7 years. The catching up triggers that 70th week of Daniel, week of years, that's 7 years. And the 70th week starts, the Israel clock starts ticking again. It's been on hold at the 69th week for all these almost 2,000 years now. So he says, Paul, inspired of God, says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, times weren't easy then either, you know, at the time he wrote this. But he's saying that it's going to be worse. Paul is preparing followers for the last days of the body of Christ on earth. He knows he's writing to people like us, centuries ahead of him, or some time ahead of him at least. And he's intending for the body of Christ to grow and to extend God's offer of salvation to the people around them, or us it would be, at the time. 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. Think about them, these attributes, these properties. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Did you ever hear anybody say grace is just a license to sin? They're saying that people that have received grace are unthankful for it. They don't respect the giver of the grace, God. So unthankful and holy, and the list goes on in verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Who are good? None are good, right? Romans 3:10, I think it is, or 3:12. None are good, but those that believe Christ and what he's done for us and his grace, dying for our sins, he imputes to us his own righteousness. So there is a goodness there, the goodness of God in those that believe and receive God's righteousness. Going on to verse 4, 2 Timothy 3, verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What's the power? The power of salvation is the gospel of Christ. Gospel of Christ. And by the time he wrote this, he had been sent to all people, and it had been for that cause, it had been renamed the gospel of the grace of God, which we have today, that if you believe that Christ died for your sins, effectively died for them, you're trusting only in his dying for your sins to save you from hell and save you into heaven, then you are saved. So having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, you've witnessed to them. You've given them the gospel. They've rejected it. Move on. You know, they'll have their day. As many of you know, when 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think it's verse 10, 11, or 12, in there, it says that those that have heard the gospel and disbelieved it in this, where we are right now, in this dispensation of the grace of God, they will receive a strong delusion after the catching up. They'll be left here because they didn't receive God's salvation. They'll receive a strong delusion so that they will not be able to believe the truth anymore. And it's a sad thing when people reject the gospel in this day. 2 Timothy 3:6. So he says, for of this, let me start with 5, denying the power of thereof, from such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. And let's look at some of these other verses that talk about sin that's on people. You may have heard a notorious Pal Talk talker that says, you're going to die with sins on you and you'll go to hell. That's what he's saying to us anyway. But what does God say about that? Look at these verses here in 2 Corinthians 5, 19, 20, and 21. 2 Corinthians 5, they're important verses, and you're going to probably, if you're not aware of them, you're going to want to write it down or look it up and mark it in your Bible. 2 Corinthians, starting with verse 19 in chapter 5. To wit, and wit means you witness it or have your wits about you. It means to know. It's another word for know. To wit, that God was in Christ. When he was on the cross, God was in Christ. And it says he was reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Why is that important? Well, he goes on to tell, it's a two-way street. I mean, it's God has done his part, but there's a part for us too. So we need to pass on this word to others that there is reconciliation available. God has done his part, your part. Do it. Actually, it's not a do, it's a believe. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, in Christ's place, as if Christ was here, in other words, we pray you, be ye reconciled to God. God is reconciled to you and reconciled you to him, but you need to be reconciled to God. You need to receive it, is what he says in 1 Corinthians 15, to your own account, your own situation. Going on to verse 21 here in 2 Corinthians 5, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Silly women laden with sins, they haven't received that forgiveness then. They still have their sins on them. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Him, talking about Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. No longer laden with sins. Sin's gone. We are made the righteousness of God. Not we work at being the righteousness of God. God does it to us. He makes us the righteousness of God when we believe the gospel. The gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Okay, back to the text of 2 Timothy 3, and we're up to verse 6. Let me just check the text here. Hello, health believers. Health believers. Not sure, but glad you're all here today. We're going to go on here. 2 Timothy 3, verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers or various lusts. Things illicitly wanted, you know, whether it's cheating on your taxes, wanting more money, greed, that's a form of lust, or pleasure seekers. Going on to verse 7, 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see them here in Pal Talk. They go from teacher to teacher and then compare teachers. What you need to do is scrap all that, scrap the Roman Empire's church and the derivatives from it that are all over the place today, and go to the Word of God. Believe what the Bible says, what God says in the Bible. And Peter is not my apostle. Moses is not my apostle. Only Paul is my apostle, sent by God to us people that are not Israelites. So we need to follow the instructions God gives to us through Paul. That's Romans through Philemon. Well, let's go on. Let's go on. I'm going to repeat 7 and then lead into verse 8 in 2 Timothy 3. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Uncorrectable, in other words, unguidable concerning the faith. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest to all men, as theirs was also. You know what's going to happen at the catching up? Those that have been preached to by people that have been preached the gospel and have ignored it, as they see the people go up, they're going to know they're in hot water. I don't think there's going to be too many going up, but I hope so. That we're trying to increase that number. Many people think that just believing that Jesus Christ existed, believing he was a historic character, they think that's believing in Christ, and that's all that is needed. Even the Jews had to do more than that. They had to believe he was the Messiah, not just a historical character. They knew he was there in the Bible days. For us, it's not a matter of accepting the fact that he existed or that he was the Son of God, even. Those are necessary, yeah. That he was the Son of God, that he was Israel's Messiah, that he rose from the dead. But the fact that saves us, the gospel that saves us, is believing that he died my death on the cross. He took my sins on himself and forgave all those sins by the blood of the cross. And it's settled. I have peace with God now. When you believe that, because the Bible says so, God says so in the Bible, you've got firm proof then. It's not just me telling you or some other preacher telling you. Go to the Bible. So, 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. This is Paul talking to Timothy, from Paul talking from prison. Pardon me. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, my charity, and my patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch. Remember, they almost rioted there. At Iconium, they did. They came down from Antioch, and when he preached at Iconium, they stoned him. And he was brought back to life. But at Lystra, he had trouble. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. We're going to take a side route here and look at that the Lord delivered me part. If you look in Acts 26, let me put these on the screen here. People misunderstand these verses over and over. But I rise, okay, this is after Paul had seen the bright light, which was Jesus Christ, on the road to Damascus, and had received, according to 1 Corinthians 15:3, he says he had received the Lord then, and the fact that he was the Christ. Excuse me a minute, please. So the Lord speaks to him, and he says, but rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. No mystery here. He's anymore. He's telling him what he's going to do. To make thee a minister and a witness. Both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. It's not a one-time appearance. It's not, he didn't get all the information all at once. The Lord reappeared and reappeared and reappeared to Paul with information for us about our salvation and our doctrine, our walk, our daily lives. So let's go on. It's getting covered up here. 17. Put that on the screen. Let me just get the continuity here. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from. So he's going to deliver Paul from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So Christ is sending Paul at that time to the people and the Gentiles that he will deliver him from. You see, it's all in the sentence there. It's all part of the sentence. Welcome to the room. We're looking at Acts 26:17. And it's a flow. It's part of the same sentence as in 26:16. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things in which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So who did Christ send Paul to? He sent him to the people and the Gentiles. And that's not a complete answer if you stop there. It's not to all people and all Gentiles. It's to the people and the Gentiles from whom he would deliver him. Delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So that's where some confusion enters in. People don't take the whole sentence. They take the part they like and leave the part that they don't want to investigate. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. In other words, that's the turnaround. That's the repenting, the changing their mind. Instead of following after darkness, remember the Thessalonians had to give up their idols in the synagogue, turn from idols to the true God, living and true God. I think that's 1 Thessalonians 1:9. And Ezekiel chapter 8 says they had idols in the temple. In the temple, and they had 25 men with their backs to the temple, facing the east, worshiping or praying to Tammuz. It was pitiful. I mean, it was disgusting, the defiance that Israel showed toward God, their Savior, all through the centuries. And Christ sent Paul to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. Who is the light of the world? Jesus Christ. And from the power of Satan that they were under, unto God. What happens then? It says, once they do that, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. So there's another step there. First, they believe the gospel of God about who Jesus is, and what and his provision for them, and then they receive the forgiveness of sins in the gospel of Christ. So, but back there in verse 17, Acts 26:17, delivering thee from the people, that's what we were keying on, because we had gotten up to verse 11, 2 Timothy 3:11, going through 2 Timothy here. And that reads, persecution. That's in the middle of a list. Let me go back further. But thou, this is verse 10. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, my afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium, where he was stoned, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So he's talking about that time during the Acts period where the Lord delivered him. Five times the Lord delivered him from various dangers that were lurking on him. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That includes you and me. I'm sure if we're believers, we want to live godly. That's that Romans 6, 16 to 19 choice we need to make. Romans 6, 16 to 19. If you're unfamiliar with it, you need to start with Romans 5, actually, if you're a saved person, or with Romans 3, if you're not yet saved, and follow right through. Paul, that's Paul's doctrine. That's the only place we get what we're to believe today is from Paul's doctrine there. And he gives a full account of it in Romans. So he says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. Talking about the end times. What did it say? Last days, I think it was, wasn't it? Let me find it. Get the exact word there. 2 Timothy 3. I got a slow poster in this. It's designed for Windows 95, I think. Poster of verses. But it said, and this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. So he's gone through these situations that'll come up. And yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we know who the master deceiver is, who they're taking their orders from. Verse 14, but, it's almost like saying but God or but now, there's a change here. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who did Timothy learn these things from? Who did Timothy learn? He learned them from Paul, the one writing this letter. And Paul's not ashamed he's not boasting, and he's not ashamed to sound like that, because he's humble. He's magnifying his office. He's making bigger his office. His office of apostle of the Gentiles. So continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Make thee wise unto salvation, which is now. He's get the series of events here, the sequence as it goes on. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. That was first as he was being raised and brought up by Lois, his grandmother, and Eunice, his mother, both of which had faith. Paul said. Known the holy scriptures, which are able, doesn't say it does, but it has the ability to make that person, it doesn't say to make them saved either, it says to make them wise unto salvation. They can know the way, but they still need to receive it. Salvation, that's what it's talking about in the rest of the verse. It says salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We need faith. That's all. You add works to it and you wreck the whole thing. God didn't add our works in our salvation. It would be our deal. It would be our contract with the Lord or something. That's not in Scripture. God doesn't even mention that. We need to get saved, yanked out of a stream of water that's going over a steep waterfall. At the last second, the Lord reaches down and rips us out of the water, so we're saved. We would have faced certain disaster. that's saved. That, and don't get accustomed, so accustomed to it that you forget and you think, well, if I'm good enough, God likes me because I keep going to church and things like that. No, it's only by His grace and your faith in His grace that we have the righteousness of God, standing before God as righteous. Going on to verse 16. All Scripture is given. And that's a fact. All Scripture is given. There's no adding to it. Look at Colossians 1:25. Paul stating that, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, or dispensing of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. God gave it to Paul to finish up the word of God, to fill it up. Fill up the word of God. All Scripture is given. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let's look in Genesis. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man I'll take questions after this, after we finish in a few minutes here. And the Lord God formed man out let me get it right. The word is right. I'm not if I differ from it. So let's get in line here. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So then, let's go to Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. And remember, inspired, the word inspiration means to breathe into. It's the breath of God. So when we're reading the scripture, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't feel you have enough faith in God, get into the word. Don't reject, you know. If you are feeling that you want to come to God and be more in tune with God, the way to do it is to read the scriptures, and the scriptures to read are the ones that are to you from our apostle, the only apostle, Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles, Paul. That's Romans through Philemon. Going on to 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you, Paul speaking, the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And I take that to mean the Lord commanded him to write these things. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. All scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Yes, believers, Acts is not excluded from being profitable for doctrine when it's kept in context and when it's rightly divided, considering which people group each part was written to and written about. Acts is profitable for doctrine. So don't abuse it by failing to use it or by misapplying it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God gave us the equipment that He uses to grow us, to edify us, to bring us into full maturity, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished, through and through, in and out, furnished unto all good works. The goal is to perfect godly men. That means, well, there's a way to do it, and the way the means of furnishing the man of God through and through is by the Word of God. Second Timothy 4, we've gotten up to chapter 4. We'll get into a little bit and then we'll try to finish it. Actually, it'll be Thursday when we get back to that. We have some live lessons from various churches that we're going to play tomorrow night or tune in with tomorrow night. So, 2 Timothy 4, 1. I charge thee, that's singular you, not plural you. That's one of the great things about the King James Version, is that you can tell whether he's saying you, Timothy, or you people, whoever's reading this. That's plural. He wouldn't say, I charge thee. He would say, I charge ye, if he was talking to more than one. It's plural. So, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, Timothy. We're going to go on with the rest of the verse, but I just want to make a note here and let us notice that Timothy received a charge from Paul. It's a serious thing. It's not just how you doing, beautiful day today. It's not just normal conversation. Paul is charging Timothy with something. Remember in 2 Timothy 2, yesterday, and the things that thou hast heard of me, Paul said, that's where the bridge is between God and us. Paul received inspiration from God, received special instructions for all people, instead of just for Israel, like the rest of the Bible is. The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. That's an action that Timothy needed to take. And it goes on, to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So that kind of automates the process. It perpetuates it. That's why we have the gospel today. We have the Word of God today, and we have grace believers today, because all through history you can trace these pockets of people that believe the Bible instead of the established church, to be nice, but they haven't been teaching the Word of God. You ask, if you don't go to a grace church, go and ask your pastor, who is our apostle? And see if he even knows where to get the information about how to get to heaven. Find a grace church. There's some grace links at the website. Oh, I didn't put the website up there. It's Follow Christ's Pattern. If somebody can write that in, www.followchristspattern. There's an S after Christ for possessive. And we're going to continue on here. The things, they were to teach others also. So Paul is passing on this charge that he gave to Timothy, for Timothy to pass on to others, to teach them to pass it on to us. I charge thee therefore before God. This is the first verse in chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. We'll be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ as to how we carry out our charge. Those of us that are believers, that are saved by Christ, we're given a charge like Timothy was, and we will be judged. Well, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. There's the word work there, isn't it? Not works, but work. To me, this, as I understand this, I can't understand this as everything you do. When you walked across the street, did you help the lady that was beside you and was elderly and not able to do it? That kind of thing. I think this is talking about, it's in the context of building the church, the body of Christ. every man's work in building the body of Christ shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. Is it helping, or is it fleshly, or is it selfish? You know. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, building the body of Christ, if any man's work shall abide, work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. So back to 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. You see two things there? Believers in Paul's gospel will be judged at his appearing. Believers in Israel's kingdom gospel, which is not available anymore after Acts 7, believers in kingdoms, Israel's kingdom gospel will be judged at his kingdom. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So here in these next verses we get to, Paul gets blunt and he gets into the practical directions of what he is passing on to Timothy. He says in verse 2, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Suffer a long time before you give up. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine is important. Don't believe them when they say, well, we just want to smile and shake hands and be friends with everybody. And don't emphasize the doctrine. The doctrine is where the power is in our lives. That's what God gives us. That's what his church is built on. The doctrine about Christ and about salvation and about all the many, many, many things God gives us and makes us into once we are saved, once we believe that Christ died for our sins. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And still talking about the last days in the body of Christ. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Turned. Who's going to do them? Who's going to turn them? The guy in the pulpit is going to be telling them fables and stories and poems instead of sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:5. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. So he's getting down to the nitty-gritty of what he's telling him. There's no doubting about it. Paul knows this may be his last contact. He says in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew that he only had a little while to finish passing on to Timothy all that he would benefit from, all that would benefit him, Timothy, and would benefit us and other generations as those that are faithful men teach others also. Verse 7, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's what my little Facebook statement is about there, when I say in two words, finish strong. That's what I'm talking about. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So, and notice the parallel wording and sentence structure between 2 Timothy 4:7 that we just read and Acts 20, verse 24. We'll bring that up here. It's about Christ's sending of Paul on his ministry to all men after he had his initial sending to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then he was sent to all men later on, late in Acts. But let's read Acts 20:24 before we compare the two here. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. This is an additional thing here. And, he said, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord. That's the first he mentioned that. The ministry I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And right after that, let's go back to 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. It's later on. He's finished. He has fought the good fight that he wanted to. What, I'm looking for the wording here in Acts 20:24. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. Here he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course, my course. I have kept the faith. So comparing the verses, there's three comparisons here, and it'd be easier if you could see it. But I'm going to read the first comparison between Acts 20:24 and then 2 Timothy 4:7. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's in Acts. And in Timothy, I have fought a good fight. Now we get back to the second comparison. Acts says, so that I might finish my course with joy. And Timothy, in Timothy it says, I have finished my course, so that I might finish my course with joy. I have finished my course. The third comparison, Acts 20:24, says, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And in 2 Timothy, he says, I have kept the faith. Acts 20:24 says, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And that's different than to testify about the gospel of the grace of God. He's testifying it. He's not telling about it or testifying what it's like. He's giving them the gospel. To testify something involves showing it or living it in front of people, passing it on, dispensing it, giving it out. So, to testify the gospel of the grace of God, in a sense, is to dispense the gospel of the grace of God, which would make it the dispensation of the grace of God. To testify something has the idea of, Romans 8:29. By the way, last night when I couldn't find that verse, I was so certain it was Romans 8:29, and yet I just hadn't looked far enough into the verse. All I saw was the foreknowledge part. But let's read it now in connection with this. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, us believers in Paul's gospel. And Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, salvation means you get yanked out of the stream before it goes over the falls. Something you couldn't control. So it's not something you do. It's something that's done to you. So when he says here, your own salvation, it's already been done for you. Christ has already died for your sins. You've already received the salvation receive that the forgiveness that Christ died for your sins. So it's already your salvation, in other words. It's not something you have to try to gain. You've got it. Now much more in my absence, work it out. Work what out? Well, work your own salvation out. Not work out how to be saved. You're saved. You have the salvation and it's your own. But work it out in your daily life with fear and trembling. That's the opposite of that unthankful that we read about in those characteristics of those that were against God earlier. Earlier in the third chapter there. So we see the parallel between Acts 20:24 and 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. To testify the gospel of the grace of God, I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4, 8, going on in these verses. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. And he goes on to say, henceforth, this being true, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness at the beginning of the verse there, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Paul didn't say, henceforth there is laid up for me the righteousness of God. No. That's all believers in the gospel of the grace of God that we've been talking about here have already been imputed the very righteousness of God. Here Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The crown of it. Crowns have to do with ruling a domain. Crowns have to do with a dominion, with dominion over. Actually, the Lord gave Adam dominion over the earth, and that's what Satan usurped from Adam. And here Paul is talking about being used in the victory of God over Satan. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. He's not saying can't wait for the rapture there. He's not saying that. He's saying that love Paul's doctrine more likely. He's saying, I believe Paul's talking about Christ's appearance to him on the road to Damascus that started this whole thing, that started this mystery of Christ that we're saved by, that he offers to all people, not just to Jews, a salvation. Jews had to endure to the end. There's a lot of scriptures that show that the Jews had to endure to the end to be saved at the end. It's different for us. None of those scriptures apply to us. All the scriptures that apply to us talk about you are saved. It's a present tense thing. It happens the moment you believe. You're baptized by one Spirit into the one body of Christ. You are the body of Christ upon belief that Christ died for your sins. So, I believe Paul is talking about Christ's appearance to him there as he was going to kill the believers. On the road to Damascus, Christ appeared to him. And the abundance of revelations to Paul since then. That's what Paul's been talking about up there. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. It was revealed to Paul. It's a different doctrine than when Christ was preaching only to Israel about a kingdom doctrine, a kingdom that was coming, and it will come to them. God, he wasn't lying. but it's just that God is going to finish what he's doing now, working with the body of Christ and filling it up and building it until the every last one that's going to be in it is in it, and he's going to catch us up, and that will start Israel's time clock again in that 70th week. It'll start at the beginning of the 70th week, and there'll be a week of years. How many are in a week? There's seven in a week. 7 years of tribulation for Israel. So, due to this, the current condition then, at that time, Paul was giving instructions how to propagate the gospel and to continue the growth of the body of Christ on earth. That was what his goal was in this final writing of Paul's before he went to be with the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:9, do thy diligence to come shortly to me. Paul hints the death penalty awaits him. Come shortly. For Demas has forsaken me. Verse 10. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Not a good good thing to have written about you in the scriptures, is it? Having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. That's in opposition to having loved those in this present world. Demas loved the world system, the world's the things of the world, the worldliness. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens unto Galatia. We know where Galatia is. It's that whole area there around, where he went in Acts 13 and 14. You can trace the cities. But if you look, and then he goes on and he says, Titus has gone to Dalmatia. And if you look at a map, this confirms that he had a wider sending later on, late in Acts. Because this is after the end of Acts that he writes this, and he says, Titus has gone to Dalmatia. And on a map of those times back there, Dalmatia is farther north than it's recorded that Paul had ever physically traveled. It's northwest of Achaia. Achaia, which is Greece, Macedonia, which is Thessalonica and Neapolis, Berea, Philippi. It's northwest of them. It's up and to the left on a map, okay? Dalmatia is the area that used to be Yugoslavia. And in southern Croatia, that's where Paul sent Titus, up in there. And from this we can see that by the end of the last epistle that Paul wrote, he had begun sending his fellow laborers far hence to the far-off Gentiles. Dalmatia is further out from where Paul ministered than any other place mentioned by Paul. If Paul had been commissioned earlier to go to all men, then we would have read in Acts about Titus departing till Dalmatia. But we don't. God had his timing, and he stuck to it. And it shouldn't be a surprise to us. It's in the Word of God. Okay. I'm done with the notes that I've got prepared here. If there are questions or comments, bring them up.